What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Talk about your favorite teams on The Fan. Call 888-808-1019. Anytime. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream every NFL on CBS playoff game. Live on Paramount Plus.
All right, 204. If you're wondering where the song was, well, where the hell have you been? I got on at 1:30 after the 126-67 loss by the Brooklyn Nets as the Clippers put on a defensive performance the likes of which haven't been seen since 2016, 67 points for the Nets. So I've been on for a half hour or so. I've been talking a little Pete Alonso. Taking your calls at 888-808-1019. All the stuff that came out yesterday, I understand that we don't know exactly what's going on behind the scenes. I understand that we're not previewed to the actual inner thoughts of the Mets, of Pete Alonso. All we could do is read the tea leaves. All we can go is based on the reporting. And what I've seen is that every day this is getting closer and closer to not happening. And that Pete Alonso is going to end up being somewhere else. And the more I think about it, I believe that's what the Mets want. Or at least David Stearns wants. And I don't know how Steve Cohen feels about it, but I believe Steve Cohen was willing to do whatever it took to get Juan Soto. And next year may very well be willing to do whatever it takes to get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. But when it comes to some of these, and I hate to say this for Pete Alonso fans and to Pete if he's listening, for some of these lesser moves, like who's going to be your first baseman and whether or not to retain Pete Alonso, he's going to allow his young, smart executive that feels like a hire in the waiting for the last 2 years, he's going to allow him to make his decisions. And that's probably the most healthy and best way to have an organization run. So when I say the Mets don't want him, I mean David Stearns don't want him, and I feel that's the one making the decision on this. And to me, everything that we heard yesterday, after I talked about this a good portion of the show yesterday, and then I wake up to the news and suddenly everybody's coming around. I got Sal saying, for the first time, I'm really feeling like the Mets might not want him. I've been saying that for a week. And I'm not trying to pat myself on the back, but I'm just saying, like, we've seen, it's felt like this, no? And then you get the Mets are holding the line. The Mets are talking to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. about a trade, or talking to Toronto about a possible Vladimir Guerrero trade, which ultimately I don't think they'll do. They'll just sign him next year. Why give up prospects when they can sign him next year, and they absolutely will if they want him? And then you get John Heyman earlier tonight say, and, the Mets have kind of given Pete a deadline saying, hey, let us know soon because we might have to pivot and pay somebody else. Can you imagine if the Mets... Like, and I don't know if they would, I don't think they would go and give Santander money. And I don't think they would go and give Alex Bregman money. I don't think they would go give some of these other free agent money. But can you imagine if they tell Pete, hey, it's 3 for $90, take it or leave it. Let us know as soon as possible. And so we can go sign Santander to a short-term deal. I mean, I'm just saying right now, if I'm Pete, I'm starting to realize, if I haven't realized already, that I'm not David Stern's cup of tea. And that they view options like Vladimir Guerrero Jr. next year in free agency as a better idea for a franchise moving forward and an owner who's willing to spend that money. If you have an owner like he did in Milwaukee, first of all, you're not even offering Pete $30 million a year. But if you have an owner who you don't know how he's going to feel about giving Vladimir Guerrero Jr. $400, $500 million, if you have an owner that you don't suspect would be in that pool, be able to swim in those waters, well, then maybe you're like, hey, we need something here. We need some pop here. Let's give $30 million to Pete Alonso. He's been our guy. All that goes out the window, I feel like, with David Stearns when he understands that the premier free agents are the kind of free agents. He talks about flexibility, right? Remember in the offseason last year, prior to the year? Well, we're going to understand that we have some money coming off the books and next year, but it's still about you know, financial flexibility. Well, he wasn't talking about giving $765 million to Juan Soto. That's fine. That's within their, you know, that's Pilates. That's very flexible. They're very flexible when it comes to $760 million for one player, if it's the right player. But over $90 million for one player, if it's the wrong player, well, that's the financial flexibility that David Stearns is talking about. And yesterday just furthered it for me that, hey, we're holding the line. You want to take the 3 for $90 or whatever the offer is now? Fine. If not, we might look into getting Vladimir Guerrero Jr. via trade or free agency next year, and please let us know as soon as possible. And if I'm Pete Alonso, who I feel like, yes, was offered a 7-year deal a year ago, or less than a year ago, whenever it was. And we all know that contract said goodbye when he had the season he had. We get that. I think even Pete understands that. But 34 home runs, an all-star appearance, the biggest home run of the year in a good postseason where they ended up in the NLCS. I come back with half the years because you tell me the years are the issue. I come back with half of the years that you offered me just a year ago. Half of the years. And then I say, well, work with me a little bit on the money. And the Mets say, no, I'm holding the line. This is the deal. Take it or leave it. And please let us know as soon as possible. If I'm Pete, it's going to be hard to swallow this. If it's going to be hard to take the idea that I've been the guy for years here. I've been toiling away, hitting 50, 40 home runs for a losing team, being the guy that's galvanized the fan base for years while everybody was screaming that, you know, Lindor is overrated. Lindor sucks. Terrible contract. Look at Lindor's OPS. He was on his way up until this last year for being the, and maybe still, who knows how he plays this year, being the Carlos Beltran of this era, where great player but underappreciated by the fan base and half the fan base despising him. Not Pete. Pete was the guy who's going to be here forever. Pete's the guy who's going to be the best player in the uniform. Pete's the guy. That's been for 4 years. That's since 2019. Pete's the guy. He has a down year. Lindor emerges as the clear-cut leader. They sign Juan Soto, and suddenly Pete Alonso is quite disposable. And by make no mistake, I'm fine with if that's the thought process. I think that is a fair plan from a general manager who views Pete as the wrong side of 30, not a great first baseman defensively, better than people will say, and an average third baseman. And if you look at his scoop numbers, they jump off the page, those scoop numbers. But, you know, an average to below, slightly below average defensive first baseman, a guy who's shown decline in on-base percentage, batting average, OPS over the last 2 years, despite the power numbers still being pretty damn good. And a guy who, in my mind, I'm given a 3-year contract at the highest money per year in the history of the position. And if that's not good enough, that's not good enough. Bye. So right now there's a standstill on value between Pete Alonso and the New York Mets. And I'm starting to get to the point where it feels like it's probably in the best interest of both sides that it doesn't happen. Because I don't know how much Pete can swallow. I'd be pissed. I got to tell you, I'd be pissed. And we'll see where the market goes. I understand that, you know, they don't want to bid against themselves, and maybe if someone else comes in with an offer, they'll be forced to up their number. I'll tell you right now, I don't think they will. I talked about it yesterday. If David Stearns gets a call from Pete Alonso today, he gets one of two calls. He gets a call saying, all right, I'll take the 3 for $90. Or he gets a call saying, hey, the San Francisco Giants just offered me 4, or the San Francisco Giants just offered me 5 for 28. That's a better deal to me. Obviously, more years, more guaranteed money. You match that deal, I'm a Met. I think he'd much rather have the second call and be able to tell Pete goodbye. And I don't even know if that might be the better idea for the New York Mets, but that's where we're going here. It's starting to feel like he is not going to be a Met. The Mets don't want him, and Pete's willing to eat some crow, but he's not willing to just take whatever they're willing to offer. And now there's a deadline to it. Now there's a proposed, hey, can you please hurry up? Because we have to pivot if you don't want to take the offer, the only offer we're willing to give you. We're not willing to negotiate. You have to take what we're giving you, and please be hurry about it, and please be quick about it. Evan in Bridgeport. What's up, Evan?
Hey, T-Mac. As a Mets fan, you got to understand, you can only watch Alonzo 0-2-1-2 sitting on a fastball, taking off speed, low and away, and just swinging through it for 5 damn years. And it's like, you know, okay, they're throwing the off speed in this situation. Can you just bite on that? And now we got Soto, a guy with a good eye. Not to play the race card thing, but it's Los Mets now, 06 Manaea type thing. They got a Latin manager. They got 2 Latin stars now.
Yeah, I don't think that has anything to do with it. Well, I'm just saying.
It feels like Alonzo's the odd man out here.
Yeah,
I can kind of fit in with it, but.
So you don't want him because of how his at-bats go?
I want him. I'm happy to have him. But once he got Boras, I think that was kind of a screw you to the organization. I'm getting Boras. I'm going to look for a good deal. He had a down year. It's great that he hit a clutch homer, but he had a down year. He wasn't good in the clubhouse, and now it's a Latin team.
I don't think that matters. I don't think that matters. I don't think that's why Pete Alonso is getting a 3 for 30, because he's, you know, not the right demographic. I do not believe that's the case. I don't think that has anything to do with why Pete will or will not be a Met. But, I mean, again, all right. You want to say that they don't? He will. First of all, you don't know what he's been in the clubhouse. You have no idea. We have no idea. We have no idea if he's been a bad guy in the clubhouse or not. But I'm just saying, you want to say you can only, like, I'm sorry. I agree. I understand. I would understand the hard line on Pete. I'm not saying they're even wrong. I want to make sure I'm clear. I'm not even saying the Mets are wrong. What I'm saying is if you want the guy, you give a little. He comes back with 3 years, you give a little. Even if there's no, even like, I understand it's bidding against yourself on some level, and that's not good business or whatever. He's your guy. He's come back after it being about years, too many years, too many years, too many years. He comes back with 3 years, you give a little. There hasn't, if it sounds like there's zero negotiation, there's nothing happening. They're way off on what perceived value is for Pete Alonso, and the Mets aren't budging. So I'm not saying they're wrong. I'm just saying they don't want him. Because if you want him, you give a little. You try and make it happen once he comes back to you with 3 years. But again, I mean, to so callously call up as a Met fan, I'm sorry. I would have a problem with it. I got to tell you, I know I'm the Yankee shill and everything, and I love everything Yankees. That's fine. If I had a player, I'm telling you right now, if I had a player on the New York Yankees who hit 53 home runs and drove in 120, and then hit 37 home runs and drove in 94, and then hit 40 home runs and drove in 131 to lead the league. Then he hit 46 home runs and hit 118 and had 118 RBIs, and then on his worst year of his career, hit 34 home runs and drove in 88 runs, and he played 161 games, 57 out of 60 games, 152 games, 160 games, 154 games. He had a connection to the fan base. He was a four-time All-Star. I would have a real problem with the organization not being able to work with him at all. Like, I don't know. I understand it's frustrating to watch him. He's not the perfect player. He had 217 in one of those years. 46, 18, but 217 with an on-base percentage of 318. Not great. Last year, 788 OPS. a 788 OPS, and they're offering the highest per annual value of a first baseman in history, and he's got an under 800 OPS. I get it. But I'm just saying, don't make it seem like, oh, I'm tired of watching him get 0-1 and then swinging a bat. I mean, listen, I get it. He's not the perfect player. But, again, 53-120, 41-31, 46-118. Like, these are not, those are premier power hitting numbers. And I don't blame Pete Alonso for thinking he has added value to this team, because God knows we've been telling him there's added value to be a Met. And that's part. One of my part is, like, if you're one of these guys like our last caller where it's like, hey, whatever. You know, hey, there's a number they're willing to take for him. If not, you move on. This is business. It's baseball. Fine. Like, if you want to be callous about that, then I don't want to hear that Pete should have done. Pete needs to do the right thing. Pete needs to understand. Pete needs to. There's value to Pete Alonso being a Met. He's got 226 home runs over 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 full seasons in 60 games. He plays 162. He plays 150. The lowest he's ever played in a full season is 152. He's missed 10 games 1 year. That's it. He's 5 years away from, you know, he's 5-6 years away from chasing down 500 home runs. Like, there's value to bringing Pete back. He helps you contend and compete for a championship this year. And he starts hitting, you know, he starts getting prestigious numbers. He starts getting into the conversation of the best player to ever wear the uniform if he continues this. Or at least the greatest power hitter. They don't show the they don't want to show Pete the value, and I understand why he's pissed about it. That's all. And it's getting clearer and clearer by the day that they don't. I firmly believe David Stearns does not want him to take the offer. David Stearns wants to be in an impasse. He wants to put a deadline on it. He wants Pete to say, "I'll, you know, forget it," and then they can move on. That's what David Stearns wants to do. Jay in Woodbridge, what's up, Jay?
What's up, C Matt?
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
I love hearing you. I listen to you every night.
Oh, thank you, man.
Before I talk about Pete, I want to give you a chance to respond to, I think it was Marash and Lugie about the butt crack. And I'm not saying this disrespectfully.
I have no. You're the second person to say this to me. I have no idea what you're talking about.
Okay, I'll move on.
No, like they said something about my butt crack.
Something about that, you know, the butt crack. They had a thing going on, like all the butt cracks the belt and the pants. I don't know. I didn't know if you knew about it. So
no. Was it just about me, or were they like ranking butt cracks of WFAN?
Yeah, they're ranking butt cracks that. Expose their.
Jay. Well, then don't mention it if you can't tell me about it. Like, either tell me about it or just move on.
I apologize. All right. Going on to Pete Alonso.
Yes.
7 years, 158. He rejected it.
Yes.
And then he had a mid-year
of 34 home runs.
How is it the fault of the Mets that now we got to give him a good offer? I don't respect that. Like,
okay,
you had a chance 7 years, 158.
Mm-hmm.
You had a chance to have a good year. You didn't have a good year.
So now he gets nothing.
No, not nothing. But the Mets gave you, like, the media is saying, well, the Mets are not respecting Pete Alonso. Nobody else in the MLB is respecting him either.
Well, I mean,
he's got no offer.
Here's the thing. I don't disagree with that necessarily, but I don't know how the rest of Major League Baseball feels about him going back to the Mets. Right now, he's offering them 3 years. He's not willing to take 3 years anywhere else. So we don't know exactly. Like, listen, neither is Bregman, neither is Santander. They're going to get offers eventually. They're going to get something. And my point is with Pete, Like, yeah, I get it. We all know that contract is gone. But last year, they were willing to give him 7 years. 7 years. Yes, he turned it down. 7 years. He has a season where he hits 34 home runs. Let me just finish. They offer him seven. He hits 34 home runs in a down year. He's still an all-star in a down year. He hits the biggest home run of the season that propels them to the NLCS.
100%.
Plays well in the postseason for the most part. And now he comes back with half the amount of years, but they can't budge a little bit on the money? He's not getting that 7-year contract. We get that. He comes back with half the years. Half. He cost himself half the years. But they can't budge
a little. How do we diminish the Mets and Stearns and Cohen when nobody else, there's no offer on the table that we've heard of, not even of any significance? How do we diminish the Mets and Stearns that they're disrespecting Alonso? We're not the Mets fans love Alonso, but he had a bad year. He's the one.
And that's why the 7-year contract becomes a 3-year contract.
I agree.
Right.
But he's the one, he turned it down. So he has to accept what the Mets now offer.
Why?
Because he was the one that turned down 7 years, $158 million.
I understand
so
that.
So now he has to work on our terms.
He came down on the years, but you can't negotiate with him a little bit if you want him.
But we don't know the number.
No, I understand. But they're not there. It sounds like they're holding the line. They are not there. They made a 3 for $90, and that's it. Take it or leave it. That doesn't.
But he has a chance to be the home run leader of the Mets. You know, homegrown Mets. They're not saying that we don't want to.
They are.
He has a chance to be the home run leader. The numbers, we don't know. That's insider stuff.
Yeah.
But he has a chance to lead the Mets franchise in home runs.
Okay.
They're not saying we don't want to. I think that that's a fair. You turned down $158 million. Now we control what the contract is. I think that's fair. I don't think that it's insulting. I don't think it's disrespect.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't think it's necessarily insulting or overly disrespectful. What I'm saying is when he's your guy, like you mentioned, he's got a chance to be the best home run hitter in Met history. Does that have no value to the Mets?
Absolutely.
Well, that's what I'm saying. So he offered him a 3-year deal at 90. He came back and said, okay, I'll give you the 3. Work with me, and they're not interested in working with him.
Well, you're assuming that.
Well, I mean, that's what I've been told. If they were willing to work with him, don't you think a deal would have happened?
I don't think that's an assumption.
So then what I'm saying is you're okay with losing him?
No.
But if Pete says, look, I need 35 a year, I need 36 a year, or I'm leaving.
No, that's it. I think that's a fair deal, but I think that number, the AAV, is the key number.
Well, clearly, because he's made the years not the key number.
Exactly.
Here's my point, though. You have the richest owner in baseball. Here's a guy who, yes, I agree, turned down a contract he wishes he didn't turn down, and he's never. He's going to cost himself.
Stern's plan is to get.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Vladdy?
Yeah.
And the one that you guys want from the Yankees. What's his name? Kyle Turner?
Kyle Tucker?
Kyle Tucker.
Yeah.
What if their plan is to get both of them?
Okay, that's a great plan. That's an unbelievable plan. It's better than signing Pete Alonso. All I'm saying is they don't want Pete. So if that's their plan, you agree. They don't want Pete.
I think they want Pete for 1 year. Break the record. We'll pay you.
Break what record?
But Strawberry.
The Strawberry record? Yeah. I mean that. It's the most home runs ever hit by a Met. I mean, it's not. I don't even know the number offhand. I don't know how many Met fans do. I think it's
41 away, 42 away.
Yeah, I mean, it's not. I guess it's somewhat prestigious to be the greatest home run hitter in Met history.
He can break it in 1 year. hey, we'll pay you $35 million. You could break it in 1 year, hit 42 home runs.
And then he's got to hit, but why, Pete, also, he's got to, then he's a year older, and if he doesn't do that, now he's hurting his, like, you got to give Pete more than just the
but,
1 year.
But Walker got 3 years, $60 million at 33 years old. He's the only, he'll be 31 next year. So he'll make plenty of money.
No, I mean, yeah, but but Walker signed with a team he never did anything for. Pete's hit 226 home runs for this team. He's been the face of this team. He's hit 50 home runs for this team. He hit the home run that sent them to the NLDS for this team. Like, he's, you expect him to just,
we
like.
He can't overpay. He turned down 7 years, $158 million.
You keep saying that. It's down to three. We all know that contract is gone. It's now 3 years. The contract's down to 3 years. If you want him, you work with him. So I'm just asking you, as a Met fan, are you the $18 million over the next 3 years? Is that worth not signing Pete Alonso?
I will take him as long as it doesn't limit us from getting Vladdy.
How could it limit you? You've got the richest owner in baseball. It's not going to limit you. Nothing is going to limit you. You've got the DH. That's all I'm saying. The idea that I understand. That right now there's no contract, we don't know. And unless there's pressure on the Mets, they're not going to feel the necessary. They're not going to feel the need to move off of their offer. I get it. But it's going to get to a point where Pete, and now he's been put to the fire to make a decision. I don't know what kind of decision Pete's going to make. And ultimately, if he just wants some, because I'm thinking at this point, especially with the market he's dealing with, I'm sure Pete just wants some sign of good faith. You thought my offer was too many years. I've come back to 3 years. So I've made a move towards making a deal. I've come off my desires. I'm willing to come and work with you. Right? You too many years? All right. I will come down to three. Can you give me a little bit to make it, you know, to in good faith and for all I've done? And that's fine. They don't have to. No one's saying the Mets have to do that. I'm just saying I understand that Pete wants them to. And if they don't, they might lose him. And so I'm asking you as Met fans, for $5, $6, $7 million a year, let's just call it around $20 million over the next 3 years. If he wants another $20 million over the 3 years, are you okay with losing Pete Alonso with the richest owner in baseball over $20 million over 3 years? A guy who plays every single day, a guy who loves the organization, loves the team, loves the fans. The fans love him. He hits 40 home runs a year. He's going to be the most prodigious home run hitter in the history of the franchise. Is $20 million over 3 years worth losing him? And if you say yes because you want Vladimir Guerrero and you know, Kyle Tucker, it's a reasonable answer.
Your official station to talk Knicks. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 2:38, McMonagle here with you on a Thursday morning, 888-808-1019. Started talking a little bit about Pete Alonso. We'll get to the Knicks. 125-119 overtime win over the Embiidless 76ers. Obviously, they were without Karl Anthony Towns as well, who has a bone chip in his thumb. And that's not why he was sitting out. He was sitting out because he also sprained the thumb. It doesn't sound like there's going to be surgery required. It's something he's going to be able to play through. Everybody's hung up on what he was wearing. We'll get to it. But a good win for the Knicks, a bounce-back win after a disappointing Pistons loss. Blew a 16-point lead, but ultimately found a way to win in overtime. Brunson was great in the game. Big minutes from Precious Achiuwa, who played well, had the goaltending that tied the game late, but played well in the second half. In overtime, had a big block. Deuce McBride played well as well, 22 minutes off the bench, 3-for-4 from three. So we'll get to the Knicks a little bit in a big win. Josh Hart with a triple-double. And we'll get to the Eagles attire that Karl Anthony Towns is wearing that's caused quite the stir. We're taking Pete Alonso calls right now. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Mac, what's going on, man? Long time no talk. How you doing?
Yeah, what's up, buddy? How are you?
I'm all right. I got 3 points I'd like to offer on that Pete Alonso conversation.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is a little bit of a similarity I find to the situation. To I don't know if you've ever seen the movie Saturday Night Fever.
Yeah, with John Travolta.
There you go.
Yeah.
So I think Travolta's character was Tony.
Yes.
And so if the Mets are Tony, they're playing Alonzo like the girl of Nets, the one that was like, you know, hanging around the studio, begging for a lesson, always wanted to be around him. Take me to the club, please, Tony. And he chased the girl from the city. And in the end of the movie, it's kind of symbolic because he ends up walking off to Manhattan, leaving her behind at, I think it was on the Verrazano Bridge with the rest of the crew. And he ends up walking to Manhattan to go follow this girl and chase his dreams.
Mm-hmm.
I find it to be very, very, a great analogy in terms of a movie to compare what's going on with Alonzo. I'm sorry, let me just stop for a second. But to get to the other 2 points.
Okay.
What you're saying, I've been saying for a minute now. Of course, the truck is going to come by. And I think it's actually getting to the point where it's borderline disrespectful to Pete. Because, and I'm going to give you 2 reasons why. Because, and I'm not even going from the way that you are and everybody else is. But I actually believe, like you said, that Stearns really doesn't want him.
Mm-hmm.
And if that is the case, you have a back channel to Boris already. You can do it the graceful and honorable thing, and the public doesn't even have to know about it. Reach out to Boris and just let him know, look, I'm not really in the Pete business. This is not really something I want to do. Let Pete, you guys can move on and go about your business. But they keep stringing him along. Just at least do that. Like, if that's really how you feel,
yeah,
then let it be known, you know, you can just move past it. Let Pete go about his business, especially for all that he's done for you. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't want to give him the contract based on, you know, business that he has done, and you can't project what he's going to do, at least respect what he's done for you and say, you know what, Pete, thank you. And I'm going to give you a second reason why I say that. Because to some extent, him and Gleyber are very much similar. The Yankees made it known that, look, we are not in the Gleyber business.
Mm-hmm.
Even when, you know, I'm sure at some point before he signed, what was it, with the Tigers?
Yeah.
Before he signed there might have been a word or two that might have come back even to Cashman. And they let him know, look, no, Gleyber, go about your business, live
right,
your life. Thank you for what you've done. We appreciate you, but we are going in a different direction.
Yeah.
I think that's the very least that if that's really how you feel, sir,
yeah,
and the tea leaves make you think that's what it is.
I agree.
Say that to the guy.
I agree. And Val, it's a lot different than Gleyber Torres, though. He's a far better player. He's a far more productive player than Gleyber Torres is. He's hit 50 home runs. I mean, he's a far, I know it was, you know, back in 19 when the ball was juiced, but he hit, you know, 34 home runs this year. He's a far better player than Gleyber Torres. I understand your point in the analogy of the Yankees just made it clear they weren't interested in Gleyber Torres. Now, look, all I'm saying is, like, I believe that Stearns understands there's value in Pete Alonso. Stearns is a baseball guy. He understands there's value in a guy who plays 160 games a year, hits 35 to 40 home runs every single year, drives in 80 to 100, 85 to 100 every single year. Like, I think he thinks there's value there. I'm not saying, when I say that he doesn't want him, I don't mean that if Pete called him and said, hey, you know, 1 year for $10 million, that he wouldn't say, okay, great. Like, there's the number, and I'm sure they're comfortable at 3 for $90. I feel like they think there's value at that number, or close to it. The owner has probably made it clear that he would like Pete Alonso back and what he means to the organization. And so David Stearns is comfortable with a number and a contract offer that I do believe he felt like Pete would not take. Now the market has changed or has not really established itself. And maybe now that is a contract Pete would eventually come back and take. And I'm sure they'd be comfortable with taking that number, especially with opt-outs. So when I say they don't want him, what I mean is this, they don't want him enough to negotiate with him. And I do believe ultimately Steve Cohen would be more than happy if Pete just says no to the offer. More, I think that's probably ultimately what he wants. So when I say he doesn't want him, it's not that he won't take him or that he wants to tell Boris, hey, forget this whole thing. Like otherwise you wouldn't make a contract offer at all. They do understand there's some value in Pete Alonso. I'm just saying I think ultimately that he would probably, they made an offer thinking he wouldn't take it because the market would be better. It hasn't been better. I think that ultimately, they don't want to negotiate off it at all. They don't want to have any good faith with Pete. They don't want to make an ounce towards Pete. And ultimately, I think, although they'd be comfortable with it and they understand there's value in trying to win this year and they don't have a better option at first base to win this year, I don't think David Stearns is going to go off this number at all. And I do honestly believe in his heart of hearts, he'd rather just Pete say no. But it's not the same as Gleyber Torres, where it's literally they don't want him at all. Like, the Yankees were done with Gleyber Torres. I don't know if it's, I would put it as such strong a term as, you know, they don't value him or don't want him at any price. Like, there was nothing that Gleyber Torres could come back and say, I'll play for 1 year at $8 million, the Yankees would have said no. Like, I think it was like at that point where it was just like, nah, we're gonna have a better option at second base. The Mets know damn well they're not having a better option at first base. There's no better option on the market, at least currently. Next year there will be. But as of right now, there's nothing they could do in free agency or even via trade, unless they're going to go really give up all their prospects for a one-year rental of Vladimir Guerrero Jr., even though they're going to pay him after that. But still, I don't think they want to do that, because I know they think they could just pay him next year. And there's no way he's going to sign somewhere else without allowing Steve to come into the process. Like, there's no way. So if they want Vladimir Guerrero Jr. and Steve Cohen's going to treat it the same way he treated Juan Soto, they'll get Vladimir Guerrero Jr. The Dodgers have a first baseman. But it's not like they're just like, hey, we're better off without you. I don't know if they would go that far, that it's addition by subtraction. I just think they have a number they're comfortable with, and they're not even going to discuss anything else. And ultimately, I would think Stearns would probably rather not even have that. But he felt like that's a reasonable number. The owner, the organization, all things considered, a short-term deal like that doesn't hamper them moving forward. You know, those are the kind of things where it made sense for especially this coming season, where they're going to want to try and win. Pete clearly helps them win. This is what they're comfortable with, and they're not comfortable with a step further. Paul in Yonkers. What's up, Paul?
Good morning, Chris. You know what I'm really disappointed in, man?
What's that?
I'm disappointed in this owner allowing a henchman that he brought in to negotiate with Alonso, and not stop this now. It's enough.
I'll let you finish. But henchman isn't fair to David Stearns. Isn't a henchman. He's running the organization. He's the GM. He's the president of baseball operations. He's not. You know, he's more than a henchman.
Well, that's who we brought in. Now here's Steve Cohen on the high end of a $750 million investment. Mm-hmm. And here's this guy, nickel and diamond Frankie Montas, bringing in a pitcher from the Yankees that never pitched as a starter before. The pitching staff can't compete. That's what Steve Cohen's got. Mm-hmm. And he don't understand it. In a four-game series with the Dodgers, what one starter is going to be the favorite over the Dodgers? None of them.
Correct.
They can't compete.
Well,
and Steve Cohen is pounding the only player that gave him everything. For 4 years, gave the Mets everything.
Yeah.
And one more thing, I'm so disappointed in the Met fans. They can't turn on Pete fast enough.
Yeah.
What a disappointment. We were beat up by the previous owners. That's why we don't know how to relate to this. I saw Judge and Soto. It was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was going to be Soto and Pete carrying each other to 40 homers a year. I couldn't wait. And the damage is done. Because when things don't work out this year, the Met fan is going to turn on Pete because they saw the owner turn on Pete. It'll be a miserable year for Pete. He's got to leave now. It's enough.
Yeah, no, I don't know if he has to leave right now. And I agree with you. Like, here's the one thing I'll say. like about Pete's value or, you know, how the organization should, like, because so many fans, right? Hey, he turned down the offer. It wasn't just that call. A bunch of people. I'm arguing with a guy on Twitter right now. He turned down the offer. Screw him. This is a guy who, for years, you know, has given the Met fan and the Mets everything he's got. Like, I've had some fun with him. You know, he's goofy. He's a little bit of a doofus, as I've called him a couple times. I think, you know, I laugh at him, and I think it's a little ridiculous how he treats the home run derby. I joke about how he was clapping offbeat at the OMG concert after the Astros win at Citi Field. Like, I've had my things about Pete Alonso, and I certainly don't think he's the perfect player. There's holes in his game, and he's not, you know, I argue with Lugie forever. He's the best power hitter in New York, all the nonsense. But he's still a great player, solid player, who's given the organization a lot. And so to just quickly turn and say, well, he turned down the offer, screw him. Because he hit 34 home runs this year on a down year? Screw, like, that's the feeling. It's like, hey, you get what you get, you turn down the offer. Like, all right. And even now, like, oh, you're talking about the Mets should have wiggle room. Why should they have wiggle room? There's no one else offering a contract. But do you want him or not? That's all. Do you want him or not? Do you want to play hardball with a guy who might get disrespected and not want to, you know, take whatever you're giving him and without any real work? Like, what if he's like, you know, I've worked with this team, I've been there for this team, and they're showing me no good faith whatsoever, so screw it. That's what I'm saying. Do you want him? Like, it's not just as simple as Pete will take the best offer or Pete will take his only offer. He'll see what comes in free agency. There's still other free agents out there. Bregman's turned down offers from his hometown team. Like, we'll see what Santander gets. Like, I understand that the market seems down now and it's January 16th. There's going to be a team who realizes they could use a 40 home run guy. And he could take a short-term deal somewhere else and hit the market just like he could with the Mets. He can go somewhere and hit 40, 50 home runs next year, not have the qualifying offer attached to him, and hit the free agent market again next year just like he can with the Mets. The wiggle room is if you want him. Do you want him or not? And if you're okay with losing him over, you know, $15 to $20 million over the next couple of years, okay, then you're okay with it. And I think the Mets are too, but I'm just saying. Do you want him or not? And I agree with that guy a little bit. I'm okay with the plan of moving on from Pete. I am. But at the same time, like, I think it's a little cold to go, hey, he turned down the offer. Screw him. All right, he bet on himself. He didn't exactly. It's not like he bet on himself like Conforto and got and tore up his shoulder and didn't play or had a miserable, terrible season. He had 34 home runs. He was an all-star. Whether he was deserving of it or not, he's got all-star next to his name. He was an all-star, he had 34 home runs, and he hit the biggest home run of your year. It's not like he had a fall-on-his-face, disgusting, hideous season, even though it felt like that at times while he was struggling in the clutch, for sure. But, I mean, he did hit 34 home runs, drove in 90 runs. It's not like he was a disaster. He didn't hit, you know, 20 home runs. He didn't fall off a cliff. He improved his batting average by 23 points from the year before. Here's the bottom line as we'll turn to the Knicks at 3 o'clock and get into some other things and still take your phone calls on Alonso. Here's the bottom line. Do the Mets want him? And if they do, should they be willing to work with him at all? And if you think they shouldn't, then you don't want him. Get the deal done. He's come back and said 3 years. Figure out a way to make Pete take the deal. And yesterday, this was their tact. Instead of offering him more money, a little bit more money, working with him, trying to come up with a contract Pete could be happy with, their tact was, we're holding the line. Let's leak out that we've talked to Toronto about Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And Pete, here's your deadline to take our offer. And that's it. That's how the Mets chose to try and get Pete Alonso to either sign to sign this contract. If you believe they want him at their number and that 3 for 90 is what their number is and they want him at that number and they're not going to negotiate against themselves and they're trying to get Pete to take the number, this was their, instead of working with him and seeing, you know, where they could meet in the middle, they've chosen holding the line. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is an option. There's a deadline to this offer, Pete. And maybe that will work, but that's what they've chosen. And if it doesn't, you need to ask yourself whether or not you're comfortable that the richest owner in baseball, for a few million dollars, decided not to bring in a player who plays 160 games a year, hits 40 home runs a year, and has been your guy for the last 5 years. And if you're okay with it, then you're okay with it. 888-808-1019. I'm not saying you have to not be okay with it. I'm just asking, are you? Because if I were a Met fan, I tell you, I don't think I'd be that okay with it.